Bolinda presents this unabridged recording of
The Night Swim by Megan Golden. Read for you by Bailey Carr, Samantha Dez, and January Lavoie.
It was Jenny's death that killed my mother. Killed her as good as if she'd been shot in the chest with a 12-gauge shotgun. The doctor said it was the cancer. But I saw the will to live drain out of her the moment the police knocked on our screen door. "It's Jenny, isn't it?" Mom rasped, clutching the lapel of her faded dressing gown. "Ma'am, I don't know how to tell you other than to say it straight." The policeman spoke in the low-pitched, melancholic tone he'd used moments earlier when he'd pulled up and told me to wait in the patrol car as its siren lights painted our house streaks of red and blue. Despite his request, I'd slipped out of the back seat and rushed to Mom's side as she turned on the front porch light and stepped onto the stoop, dazed from being woken late at night. I hugged her withered waist as he told her what he had to say. Her body shuddered at each word. His jaw was tight under strawberry blonde stubble, and his light eyes were watery by the time he was done. He was a young cop, visibly inexperienced in dealing with tragedy. He ran his knuckles across the corners of his glistening eyes and swallowed hard.
I'm sorry for your loss, ma'am,
he stammered when there was nothing left to say. The finality of those words would reverberate through the years that followed. But at that moment, as the platitudes still hung in the air, we stood on the stoop, staring at each other, uncertain what to do as we contemplated the etiquette of death. I tightened my small, girlish arms around Mom's waist as she lurched blindly into the house, overcome by grief. I moved along with her, my arms locked around her, my face pressed against her hollow stomach. I wouldn't let go. I was certain that I was all that was holding her up. She collapsed into the lumpy cushion of the armchair, her face hidden in her clawed-up hands and her shoulders shaking from soundless sobs. I limped to the kitchen and poured her a glass of lemonade. It was all I could think to do. In our family, lemonade was the band-aid to fix life's troubles. Mom's teeth chattered against the glass as she tilted it to her mouth. She took a sip and left the glass teetering on the worn upholstery of her armchair as she wrapped her arms around herself. I grabbed the glass before it fell and stumbled toward the kitchen. Halfway there, I realized the policeman was still standing at the doorway. He was staring at the floor. I followed his gaze. A track of bloody footprints in the shape of my small feet was smeared across the linoleum floor. He looked at me expectantly. It was time for me to go to the hospital like I'd agreed when I'd begged him to take me home first so that I could be with Mom when she found out about Jenny. I glared at him defiantly. I would not leave my mother alone that night, not even to get medical treatment for the cuts on my feet. He was about to argue the point when a garbled message came through on his patrol car radio. He squatted down so that he was at the level of my eyes and told me that he'd arrange for a nurse to come to the house as soon as possible to attend to my injured feet. I watched through the mesh of the screen door as he sped away. The blare of his police siren echoed long after his car disappeared in the dark. The nurse arrived the following morning. She wore hospital scrubs and carried an oversized medical bag. She apologized for the delay, telling me that the ER had been overwhelmed by an emergency the previous night, and nobody could get away to attend to me. She sewed me up with black sutures and wrapped thick bandages around my feet. Before she left, she warned me not to walk because the sutures would pop. She was right. They did.